start from beginning of January. Yeah, shall we start or? Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Bill, for introduction. Yeah, my name is Gotani. I'm working for a Fidelity project, as Bian introduced. Today I'm going to talk a bit about the template protection, especially for the fingerprint template protection. Here's my agenda for today's talk. First, I will introduce the motivation of template protection, why we need to study the template protection. And the second, I will describe some state-of-the-art fingerprint template protection method, and then we proposed a new fingerprint template protection by using Bloom filters. We also evaluate the performance for our new designed method. After that, I would like to conclude our today's talk. Why we need to study the template protection? Yeah, in biometric system, as you know, we use our biological characteristics to identify the person, such as the face and the fingerprint or iris. But when we evaluate whether this biological characteristic is suitable for used for the biometric modality, one major property is the permanence, which means these characteristics should be invariable in a long or over some time. It is better not it can be it doesn't change for our lifetime. And on the other hand, this is permanent. So yeah, in a biometric system, we also need to install this biometric data in the database. But once this database is compromised, your biometric data will be misused in the rest of your life. So we cannot take this risk. So we need to do something to protect our biometric data. In database, as you can imagine, either we store the fingerprint image in the database or some fingerprint template extracted from original images. If the fingerprint image is compromised, some attackers or obviously some attackers can use this image to duplicate your fingerprint. So generally we store the template, a biometric template derived from the sample images. In industry, if you ask a project manager, how do you protect our biometric data? Usually they will say, we don't store the original image. Instead, we don't store the original image, but we store the template, like for fingerprint, like Medusa. They think it is safe, but actually it is not. Some researchers have reviewed that using the fingerprint template can reconstruct your original fingerprint sample images. So we have to do something to protect our fingerprint template. Also we can think, why we don't just encrypt the template by using standard encryption algorithm like AES, like such as SHA or MDS5, and then we store the encrypted template in our database. But during the identification stage, we needed to decrypt. So this requires a trusted network environment. But for our research, sometimes we are not able to guarantee this trusted networks environment, especially in right now in our cloud service. It's quite hard to make sure that your network is secured. So we want to provide some algorithm to do comparison during the transform the domain, as being introduced earlier. So according to the ISO standards, if you want to protect the template, biometric template, you have to meet two major requirements. The first one is the irreversibility, which means you are unable to reconstruct the original sample from protected template. The second one is the uninkability. Uninkability means the same samples from one subject should not be matched after encryption. For instance, for this one fingerprint, you can capture three different samples. But after you use the temporary protection approach, these three samples cannot be matched, so which means it's unlinked. If you have an iPhone, you do shopping on iPhone, and you use your fingerprint to access your iPhone, right? In this case, we encrypt your fingerprint and store the protected template in your iPhone. If this template in iPhone is compromised, this is one case. Another application, if you go to a building, you present your fingerprint to go through the building. But in this case, even your template in iPhone is compromised, but you are not use that template to go into this building, which this is unlinked. But if we don't protect the template, if your template is compromised in your iPhone, the attack also can use this template to go into the building by using the same template. So this is the purpose of uninkability. Because we have only one, in general we have only one fingerprint. If you don't protect this template, you can go everywhere. You can go by shopping using this finger, you can go in this building by this finger. So, but if we do some protection on this template, you can only allow to use this and the shopping, but you are not allowed to another applications. So these two applications are unlinked. Now, in order to achieve these two measurements, researchers have already have studied for more than 10 years, I guess so. But we can roughly classify the state-of-the-art method into two categories. The first one is the biometric crypto system. The idea of the biometric crypto system is to protect or retrieve the cryptographic key by using biometric data. So the critical component of biometric crypto system is the error correcting code, which has been used in a cryptographic system for a long history. So in our biometric system, this error from the two different samples, because there are some variation between samples, so you can use this error correcting code module to decode to get the secret key. But the major disadvantage is that the majority of these approaches requires some public information to properly align the fingerprint samples, because fingerprint sample always has some rotation or translation. But this alignment for fingerprint is critical and quite challenging to achieve. The second category is the cancelable biometric, also refers to the feature transformation as being introduced earlier. So we want to compare two templates in protected domain. Some researchers also have employed this concept to generate cancelable fingerprint template, but it led to a significant decrease in biometric performance, which means after you encrypt the biometric data, the performance will decrease. In general, it will decrease. So we want to design some good algorithm to get the more or less the same or even better performance than which is calculated from the plain text domain. One typical cancelable biometric is using Bloom filters, and Bloom filter has already been used in iris biometrics and also face recognition biometrics. It also proved that they can achieve a better performance also, as well as guarantee the security. For instance, they use the cancelable biometric. We use the Bloom filter for the iris. For iris, they can generate a template, a binary template, with fixed the length, and also fix the size. After generating this binary, they will divide this template into a set of blocks. As you see, they divide into key blocks, and for each blocks, for the block two, we define the number of the rows as world size. Then for each column from this block, let's see, for this column, they calculate a decimal value for this column, which is 39. After that, they will map into a binary stream. They will flip the 39s from 0 to 1. But in my multiple columns will be mapped into the same position, but only the first change will take effect. So which means for the block two, after calculation, a binary stream can be generated to represent block two. In final, we have key binary streams to represent the original template. So these K binary streams, we call it a transformed template. We still can do comparison in this transformed template. So this is the procedures of using Bloom filters for arrays. So we want to study, since they already achieved better performance in arrays, why we don't use it for fingerprint. So we try to use this concept in our fingerprint template. But for the fingerprint, there are two major challenges. The first one is for arrays, it's very easy to get the binary template. But for fingerprint, the first one, we need to generate a binary template. The second one, for fingerprint, the size of the binary templates, it's not fixed. It's large and variable because of the minutia point is not fixed. So we designed a method including three steps. The first one, in order to robust with the fingerprint translation, we designed a pre-alignment method. The second one, the after pre-alignment, we will generate a template, a binary template. Then we will use the Bloom filter to map this binary template into a transformed domain. The first step is the pre-alignment. And these are two samples from the one single finger. The idea of this pre-alignment is to consider the minutia included in a circle. As you can see from the screen, included in this yellow circle. The reason is that you can see at the bottom of each fingerprint, the minutia point are quite different. From the right side sample, minutia point are much more than the left side. If we exclude this minutia point, we think it will get better performance, because the minutia point located in the center is more robust during the sample acquisition. In order to set this circle, we need a reference point, right? So the first step, we use a commercial extractor to locate this reference point. But for some samples, the commercial extractor doesn't obtain the reference point, so we can see a very simple way to generate a reference point is to use the maximum x and maximum y to just find a center point in this fingerprint, in this area. After this pre-alignment, we adapt a binary generation method, which was published in 2010. The procedures for this binary template generation is, the first step, we will form minutia vicinities. Minutia vicinity is defined as minutia vicinity is defined by using four minutias with one center minutia and its three closest minutia. As see, we can from this is a minutia vicinity consisting of four minutias. After form this minutia vicinity, then we define six orientations. For instance, the orientation one starts from the MI to minutia CI1. Then according to each orientation, we do alignment For instance, we consider orientation 1 as x-axis, and the middle point of between MI and CI1 as origin. After that, we can have the rest of two menus, the rest of the minutia, actually the another two minutia, we can have two new locations and also a new directions. So for each orientation, we have two new defined minutia. So for six orientations, we will have 12 new minutia. So for each minutia consists of three properties: x coordinate and y coordinate, also the direction. So after that, we can concatenate these three properties to generate 36 dimension vectors. After generating this 36 vector, then we do the projection and quantization to produce a binary template. Yeah, this procedure will be a bit complicated, but I just give you an overview of how we generate this template projection. Yeah, after generate the binary template, then we will use the same procedures of Blum filters used in iris recognition, used for iris biometrics. The first step, we divide this binary template into a set of different small blocks. Yeah, another thing I would like to mention is that for this binary template, the number of the rows is fixed, but the number of the columns is variable, because the number of the columns is depends on the number of the minutia. After the dividing the template into sub blocks, then for each block we use the same procedures in iris. For instance, for the first column, we convert it into a decimal value, which is 38. Then we flip 1 to 0 at the 38 location. So in the end, for each blocks, we will have a binary vector. And for the whole template, we will have k binary vectors. These k binary vectors, we call it the transformed template. We will do comparison in this transformed template. After design the new algorithm, we always need to evaluate the performance. That's what we call the unlinkability. In unlinkability, we will generate the template which should not match. But when we evaluate the performance, we will apply a stolen token case, which means we need to use a same secret key to encrypt each sample. In that case, if we use the same secret key, then the samples from the one single subject will match. Yeah, because we encrypt the plain text template. So how to see how to evaluate our performance? We need to comply with another's. So the idea is that we use the same binary template. We based on this binary template to calculate the performance without using Bloom filters. We have a performance from here, and we also have a performance from the transform template, and then we will see the difference between these two. So we expect the performance from the transform template it more or less equal to the performance from without using Bloom filters, which means we guarantee the security, also the performance doesn't decrease. In biometric, we always use the equal error rate to indicate the performance. So the lower equal error rate, it's better performance. More graphical, for this case, if the curve is close to the origin, we say the performance is better. We evaluate our method in several public databases. The first, but the left figure, the figure is the result running on the FEC 2002, the 2002 database. From the figure, we can see, I just said earlier, the curve close to the origin is a better performance. We can see the, in this case, the performance without using Bloom filters is the best. It's close to the zero. But if we increase, if we, the worst one is the performance using the word size equal 8. So if we increase the word size, the performance goes better. But we cannot continually increase the word size, because if you increase the word size of the template will significantly increase. So we have to stop at some point to get some balance between performance and the size of the template. Yeah, these two tables are equal error rate value. So for the unprotected domain, the equal error rate is it's quite good. It's the zero, yeah, it's 0.02%. And for the best case for the best case in the protected domain, it's the 0.03. So the performance just decreased the 0.01%. Yeah, the lower table is for the lower table is the result for the different samples. In this database, for each subject, there are 8 samples sorted by the quantity. So we use the first sample as a reference, the second sample as a probe. The quantity of the second sample is better than the quantity for the third sample. So the purpose of this experiment is to evaluate the impact of the fingerprint quantity. We can see the equal error rate difference. If the quantity is worse, the performance decreases significantly. So which means for our algorithm, it's quite sensitive to the fingerprint quantities so far. And this is the result from the another database. So we have the similar change. So if we increase the word size, performance also will increase. In this case, For the best performance in protected domain, we slightly better than the performance without using Bloom filters. And also for the impact of the quantities, the better quantity always gets the better performance. So from this experimental result, we can see equal error rate goes down if we increase the word set. However, and on the other hand, the size of the transformer template also increases. So we have to stop at some point. The second one is the performance is still suffering from the poor quality fingerprint images. So which probably will be our future work, how to be robust with the low quality samples. In this work, we designed a pre-alignment process in order to be robust with the fingerprint sample translation. So, in short, we can say that it is feasible to use the Bloom filters on fingerprint biometrics, because we can see the best performance in our result is more or less equal to the performance in plain text domain. These are some reference used in our work. So if you want to see some details, you can go to this reference. Yeah, thanks for your attention. Yeah. Yes. 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 Sorry, how to? Oh I observed from a experiment. Yeah, computational complexity will increase after you want to achieve a better performance. Yeah, that's the reason why I had to stop at some point. If you the size of the template increase, the computation complexity will increase quite a lot. Yeah, Yes. Yeah, if yes. Yeah. To compromise my algorithm. Yeah, if I want to compromise my algorithm. Yeah, the one thing is that in this case, if I increase the word size, the entropy will decrease. The entropy for the protect template will decrease. Yes. Yeah, in that case, you know, if you increase the word size, they are the zero value in the binary temperature will occupy quite a lot. So only a few of the, or a couple of the one values. So in that case, they probably they can easier for them to, no, it's not easier, it will be difficult. No, that entropy will, yeah, will decrease. If we increase the water size, it will be easier for attack. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And another thing also is the how to manage the key. Yeah, because for in Bloomfield, it's a secret key. We have to manage a key in this key. It's a secret key. Yes, I think so. We need a. Yeah, it's the key, the secret key cannot be leaked. Do you have a comment to attack? Yeah, the major thing is to use the different key to guarantee this uncompatibility. Yeah. No, the secret it's in plain text. It's a binary vector. It's in plain the secret key. It's we don't need to protect the secret key, right? We just manage this key in a secure environment. Original, no. If you see from original, in this case, because we mapped, you see, for this case, we can see from the procedures of Bloom filters, because you will map multiple columns into one position, but only the first changes will take effect, which means if you have five minutiae mapped into one. Yeah, but when you reverse, you will miss four minutiae information. You will only get one minutiae information. Yeah, you don't know which one is exactly. So the maximum point you will get only one. Even you don't know which one is, because we map this five into one position. So I think it's impossible to reconstruct. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, because when I give the a couple of presentations here or somewhere, I always start from the minutia point. Yeah. Yeah, the yeah, just yeah, this block. We use the 1 0 0. The last one is 1. So what is the Bloom filters? If the word size it's 5. So firstly we initial it's the 1 2 3 4 5. So initially we will, so the first we will initiate a binary template with the size 2 power. What's the 32 bit. So the length of this 32 bit. Okay, we initiate a binary vector with all values set to 0, and then for the this column it's 0 0 0 0 1. So we convert into decimal value, this is 1, right? Then we change this position into 1 0. So if we have another column, we have the same, probably the same, so they will also convert to 0 1, but they also will map into here. But this value is already set to 0, so this will not change. Yeah, this one, if we set this one into 0, we don't know this one from the first column or from the another column. So this can protect the original template. How identify another guy from the same? Yeah, you mean the samples from the same finger? From different people. Okay, the different people will be the first column will be different. Yeah, they will be like 1 0 1, like that. Then they will map into different place. Then we can distinguish these two different people. Yeah, I understand your question. Unlinkability is here. Yeah, that is the secret key. We have a secret key to change this one into another in the XOR. Secret key is 0 1, something like that. I understand your question. If you for they are sample 1 and sample 2 from the same person, right? Then for the sample one, the original template is the same, right? Because they are from the same person. But for the sample one, we use a secret key to change in this column. For the sample two, we use another secret key to change in this column. Then to guarantee the unlinkability. And so we need to have a secured secret key. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, sure.
那个 entropy 我觉得变小，那个是 entropy 上的变小，但是我觉得会更难攻击吧。因为我是这么想的，如果你这个那个 word size 很小的话，你这一占了很多嘛，一占了很多，那不更容易攻击吗？我填什么一步就可以了。就是极端的例子，你最后把这个那个 word size 非常非常小的话，我把一全设成一，那不就很容易攻击了吗？啊、嗯，我不太清楚攻击的这个是。攻击是怎么？